The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
They say it takes a big man to admit he's wrong, but I say it takes an even bigger man to admit he's never wrong.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you that bigger man, Eric Metaxas.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Todd. My goodness, folks, I have a particular treat for you today and perhaps in the days that come. I'm sitting here in the studio with my new friend, Dr. James Tour. He lets me call him Jim. But when I tell you some of his credentials, you'll understand why I would feel uncomfortable calling him Jim. First of all, James Tour is a synthetic organic chemist. But here's where it gets tricky. Or actually, where do I even begin? He teaches at Rice University, okay? He's the currently the T.T. and W.F. Chow Professor of Chemistry, Professor of Computer Science, and Professor of Materials Science and Nano Engineering. His scientific research areas include, you'll want to write this down, nanoelectronics, graphene electronics, silicon oxide electronics, carbon nanovectors for medical applications, green carbon research for enhanced oil recovery and environmentally friendly oil and gas extraction, graphene photovoltaics. I'll say that again in case you didn't get that. Graphene photovoltaics, carbon supercapacitors, lithium ion batteries, CO2 capture, water splitting to H2 and O2. But who among us doesn't do that? Water purification, carbon nanotube and graphene synthetic modifications, graphene oxide, carbon composites, hydrogen storage on nano-engineered carbon scaffolds, nano-engineered without a hyphen, nano-engineered carbon scaffolds. And then, of course, who can forget, synthesis of single molecule nanomachines, which includes molecular motors and nano cars. Did you get all that? I'll repeat it at the end of the program. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, Dr. James Tour. Jim, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
But pull that microphone up to you because we want to get every syllable since we only have you here from Houston, from Rice University on loan just for the day. You are such a respected scientist that if I were to actually read some of the things about you, you'd be embarrassed. So I'll tell my audience about you another time. As far as I'm concerned, I can sum it up and say you're one of the most important scientists working today on the planet. Even R&D magazine a couple of years ago called you Scientist of the Year. You're doing amazing stuff in the world of nano engineering. Most people don't know what that is. I want to hear your personal story as a Jew coming to believe in Yeshua. But before that, just so my audience can understand, what in the world is nano engineering?
Well, we take small entities and build them up to be nano size, and then use those to.
What? See, you already lost me in the first clause. You take what?
Small entities, molecules, and we build those molecules up to be a nano sized device, and we use that device for a certain function.
Okay, so you build molecules.
Yes.
Aren't molecules too small to be manipulated with human hands?
No, there's a field called chemistry.
Uh-huh.
And this is what chemists do.
Oh, and he's also sarcastic. All right, wise guy. So you work with atoms, you manipulate them to create molecules, and you create molecules that, for example, are incredibly tiny, quote-unquote, cars, right?
Yes, yes. We make nano cars. We race them in races. And
you're not kidding?
No.
Okay. Now, when you say nano car, just so my audience understands the size, if I were to put nano cars side by side, like in a parking lot, how many of them would it take to fill up 1 inch? Can I guess?
Yeah, sure.
50,000.
No, 50,000 is across the diameter of a human hair.
So one human hair. See, my audience is, when I first heard this, I was reeling. Okay, so one human hair, the thickness of a human hair, and
yes,
you're telling me that the molecules that you create that are cars,
yes,
that you can race. Now, you're to be serious, this is not like they have engines and carburetors, but they are a chassis, wheels, and axle.
No, we also have motors in them.
Really?
Yes.
How many cylinders?
It's
what's the CC capacity on the? I mean, okay, my audience is already annoyed with me, folks. Forgive me. This stuff, I'm so fascinated that I get crazy. So, one human hair, the thickness of a human hair, you can fit 50,000 of these across.
Correct.
That's how small they are. That's
yes,
how small molecules are.
Yes.
50,000. Okay. So that's what you do, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a nano engineering is.
That's right. It's taking molecules and building them up into a nano-sized device, in this case being a car.
Being a car. Okay, but it sounds like you're goofing around, but the fact is that there are very, very serious applications for nano-engineering.
Absolutely.
Give us an example or two.
So what we've done is we've taken these same motorized vehicles, we've taken the motor out, and we've used that where we hook on a peptide, which is a protein, which will find a certain cell in the body,
right,
for example, a cancer cell, stick to that cancer cell, and then we turn the motor on, and it drills a hole in that cancer cell in order to kill it.
No, seriously.
Seriously.
I know. This is big stuff, Jim. That's why I'm real excited
about it. It's actually very small stuff.
It's, well, right. I was using big metaphorically, my brother. What you do, we're going to get into that very soon. But I want to talk about your story. When I discovered that a scientist of your caliber is a man of very serious faith, I wanted to hear your story. So let's get into that. I know you're just a couple of years older than me. You're in Houston now. But where did you grow up? How did you get to be where you are?
Well, I was born in New York City. I grew up just north of the city. I grew up in a Jewish home, secular Jewish home, Jewish neighborhood. When I was in elementary school, I thought everybody was Jewish, except when I was in kindergarten was the year they started busing in the African-Americans from the projects. And I thought everybody was either Jewish or black. I didn't even know there was anybody else. And
you now know I'm neither Jewish nor black.
Yeah, I know you're Greek.
So there are people like me out there.
That's right.
You got to wake up. There's a big world.
That's right.
That's kind of cool. Okay, so you grew up in an intensely Jewish environment.
No, it was quite a secular Jewish environment, but I was surrounded by Jewish people all around, and
okay,
went off to college, and I started to meet Christians that said that they were born again, and I didn't even understand that term.
Where were you in college?
Syracuse University.
Uh-huh. What were you planning to do with your life in high school and college?
Well, I wanted to be a chemistry major. I actually wanted to study just enough to become a New York State trooper. But I couldn't get into the academy because I was colorblind. And so I was going to go into forensic science so at least I could work in the criminal justice system in a forensics lab. And my dad said, well, why don't you just take chemistry and you can focus in on forensics after you get your bachelor's degree in chemistry. And then when
So you wanted to be a cop?
Yes.
You wanted to be a cop. And because you're colorblind, God gave you colorblindness to save the world from you being a cop so that you could do what you're doing now, attacking cancer on a molecular level and doing all these other things. If I may just, you know, annotate, that's pretty dramatic that you're telling me that you seriously wanted to be a cop.
I seriously wanted to be.
You couldn't.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So what's the life application? Be careful what you wish for and don't expect God to answer your prayers, because if he really, really, really loves you, he may not answer some prayers. I'm so glad he didn't answer your prayer to be a cop. Okay.
So then it was August of my freshman year. I was doing a first load of laundry there at the university. And a young man, I got to talking with him, and I said, so what do you want to do when you graduate? He was on the Syracuse University football team. I asked him if he was going to play football. He said, no, I'm not good enough for that. I said, what do you want to do? He said, well, maybe lay ministry. I said, I don't know what that is. He says, missionary. I said, missionary? Why would anybody want to be a missionary? We don't need that in 1977. We got TV. Just blast it in there. He said, do you mind if I give you an illustration of the gospel? And so he drew.
This was in the laundry room?
Actually, we went up to my room, and he drew a picture of man on one side of a chasm.
Oh, you know what? We got a hard break.
Okay.
Hold on, folks. We'll be right back.
This is Jack from Banyan Hill. You like freedom? I do. You like money? I do too. If you like freedom and money, then you're gonna love Freedom Checks. You see, over the next few months, an estimated $34.6 billion is up for grabs to anyone who stakes their claim. Yep, you heard right. $34.6 billion. To get all the details, just go to www.claimfreedomchecks.com. Thousands of people are already lined up to cash in. Take Doug, for example. He's a 46-year-old from Joplin, Missouri, who's set to get a check for $24,075. And if Doug can do this, I've got a hunch that you can too. But here's the thing. If you want a chance to grab your full share of this $34.6 billion payout, you must have your ducks in a row by May 1st. So don't wait. Get over to www.claimfreedomchecks.com before the May 1st deadline. That's www.claimfreedomchecks.com.
I came as close to heaven as a person can be without getting in. For 3 years, I followed Jesus Christ and devoted myself to ministry. But today, despite all that I did as a follower of Jesus, I am languishing in hell.
Don't miss Heaven So Near So Far, the story of Judas Iscariot.
Heaven So Near So Far, the story of Judas Iscariot, this Friday on the Eric Metaxas Show.
It's an amazing song.
You know, I've never told anybody my story.
From Irwin Brothers Entertainment comes I Can Only Imagine.
When I was 11 years old, life was tough.
See the film that everyone's talking about. The story behind the beloved song that inspired millions.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him. So I wrote this song for my dad.
I Can Only Imagine. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing. Go to IcanOnlyImagine.com.
Hey, Albin.
What?
You just woke up.
Yeah,
I can't believe you're sleeping. You're not getting enough sleep at night. Probably it's your pillow.
Can I make
a suggestion?
Yeah.
My Pillow. Have you heard about My Pillow?
Oh,
we met the inventor, Mike Lindell. He's now become a friend because he's the warmest, craziest, wonderful entrepreneur. I mean, he's an American original. But he decided to do something, and I want my listeners, that's folks, that's you, to listen. He said, for my listeners, My Pillow is right now offering 50% off the four-pack. 50% off the four-pack. It includes two premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows. Hey, why not? If it's 50% off, why not get them for everybody you know? Call 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057. Use the promo code Eric or go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code Eric or you could use the promo code Metaxas. Either way, 50% off if you use Eric or Metaxas. Call 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057, MyPillow.com.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you want your thin hair to feel and look thicker? With Viviscal, the number one drug-free healthy hair supplement in the U.S., two little tablets is all it takes, guaranteed. Viviscal is clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And right now, a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area, risk-free plus free shipping. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within, and we guarantee you'll love your hair growth results. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by doctors. Here's what dermatologist Dr. John Laura has to say about Viviscal.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal. It's backed by 25 years of research and multiple clinical studies that demonstrated Viviscal's effectiveness in promoting the growth of thicker, fuller hair.
It's so easy to try Viviscal. Call right now for a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call 800-335-6708. That's 800-335-6708. 800-335-6708.
I go my way alone, free and easy like a rolling stone.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Dr. James Tour here in the studio in New York with me. Boy, oh boy, have you tuned into an exciting show. If you don't believe me, just stick around for a few minutes. Okay, so
Jim, you're talking about you're in college, you're a Jew, and this guy starts talking to you about going on the mission field, and you're thinking, like, what in the world is that?
Yes.
So you go up. So he says, can I explain the gospel to you? Is that what he said?
Yes, sir. Okay. I'd like to give you an illustration of the gospel. And so he drew man on one side of a chasm, God on the other, the chasm being sin between us. Man tries to get to God but can't get over the sin. And he had me read a verse from the Bible that says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And I looked at him and I said, "I'm not a sinner. I never killed anybody. I never robbed a bank. How can I be a sinner?" Modern secular Judaism doesn't think about sin that way. And
modern secular Judaism, of course, doesn't. But that's the world you were raised in, basically. I'm a good kid. I'm doing my best. I'm not a sinner.
Correct. And he was a little bit surprised at this. And then he showed me another verse from the Bible that says, if you have looked at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. And that really slammed me. The words from 2,000 years ago of a man, and I felt deeply convicted because I had become addicted to pornography at the age of 14, working on the Hutchinson River Parkway in a gas station, cleaning the trash cans there. And I was really shocked that anybody knew. And then he went on and showed me how Jesus Christ has died on the cross, died for my sins, and it's through that I get to God. But I couldn't get my mind off of what I had read. I attended a little Bible study for a few months, and then on November 7th, 19...
That's a big deal right there. So what this guy shared with you, you're a secular Jew studying chemistry, but this grabbed you so much that you joined a Bible study.
Yes, it really shook me because that verse just drilled right in on me. And I attended a little Bible study, and then November 7th, 1977, I was all alone in my room in the Lawrence and Dorr dormitory, room 1812, and I got on my knees, and I'm not even sure what prompted me to do that. Jews usually stand when we pray, Christians sit. But I got on my knees, and I said, "Lord, forgive me because I'm a sinner and come into my life." And then all of a sudden, I felt this burden of sin that had been on me these several months start to lift off. And then all of a sudden, somebody was in my room. And I opened my eyes to see who's here. And I didn't see anybody, but a presence filled the room so strongly I just started weeping. Uncontrollable weeping. The presence was so kind and so gentle. I wasn't scared, and I didn't know what to do. And I just wanted to enjoy this presence, and just loving me was this presence. I didn't want to get up. Finally, I got up. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who to say anything to. What's this Jewish kid from New York City going to tell? I didn't know what to say. And then a few weeks later, the guy had shared with me. He said, "Jim, have you invited Jesus in your heart?"
A few weeks later.
A few weeks later.
So
I didn't tell anybody.
You didn't tell a soul?
No,
about
I didn't
this
know.
Outrageous
no.
experience?
No, I didn't know what to do. And he said, "Jim, have you accepted Jesus in your heart?" I said, "I think I have. Why do you ask?" He says, "You haven't stopped smiling for weeks. Something happened to me that day." And what I didn't even realize at that moment is that when he visited my room, he took away any desire for pornography from me.
You mean when God came into your
yes.
room?
Yes. When I was visited by Jesus Christ in my room, I didn't see him, but his presence was so real. And then after that, I had been addicted to pornography from the age of 14. Here I was 18. And to those who have suffered from addictions, they know the power of that over a person. And it was gone. It was just gone. And I asked him, I said, "How do I keep this closeness to God?" I asked this friend of mine who had shared with me. He said, "I've talked to people who remain close to God." I asked him, "Do you read your Bible every day?" They said they do. And I've asked other people who've drifted away. I said, "Were you reading your Bible every day?" They said, "No." So I understood that. I said, "That I can do." So for 40 years, I've read the scriptures every day of my life. I start in Genesis chapter 1, and I read through, picking up where I left off the day before, and I read to Revelation chapter 22, and when I'm done, I start again. And God speaks to me through the scriptures in the portion for that day, and I rise each morning early, and I spend time with the Lord. Sometimes I go in there a week into that time, and God speaks to me. God speaks to me through the scriptures. I say, Lord, speak to me through the passage that I'm reading. Prepare me for this day. And he begins to instruct me through the word of God. And he empowers me. Sometimes I go in and I feel, how am I ever going to get through what I need to accomplish? And then he strengthens me for the day through the scriptures. And then I always break at noontime. I'll go to the chapel on campus. And I've done that since I was an undergraduate. And I still do it. And I fall on my knees and spend some time with the Lord. And then in the evening again, I want to follow the Daniel pattern of three times a day with the Lord. So that's my testimony.
Okay. That's pretty big stuff. And I don't mean that in terms of the size of that. I'm speaking metaphorically. This is heavy. For somebody who is a very, very well-known scientist, and when I say well-known scientist, I mean you're well-known in the scientific community as a scientist for the work you've done with NASA and so many places, you know, to tell the story in as unvarnished a way as you just have is itself a big deal. I mean, that I know there are many scientists who are sort of – they're almost afraid to talk about their faith. You seem to be afraid not to talk about it.
I think that's the case. How could I not – speak about this? How could I not speak about this one who visited me that day and has walked with me every day in my life for the last 40 years? How could I not speak about him? He's impacted my family, my life, who I was going to marry, my children, my activities with them. He's given me creativity in my work. The Bible says that he'll give us more than we could ever ask or think. So I pray to the Lord for creativity. The Bible says that the darkness and the light are the same to him. So I say, Lord, I don't understand this data. And boom, he starts giving me more insight.
I don't understand this data.
Yes.
So in other words, as a scientist, you get stuck, you pray, and God reveals something to you.
That's right. Go figure. God answers prayer.
Go figure. Only Jewish people can say go figure with authority and not as the scribes. All right. So your story, there's so much to it. We were together last night with Mitch Glazer of Chosen People Ministries joking around at the Second Avenue Deli. And I marveled at the fact that when I'm at a place like the Second Avenue Deli, you know, not to get pastrami, it's kind of like – you know, it's insulting. You have to get pastrami or you have to do something like that. So I was marveling. I thought, you are so disciplined. The fact that you ordered a salad at the Second Avenue Deli is just a wild example of how you really are a man of tremendous discipline. And we were talking about this. But when you say that you've read the Bible every day for 40 years since then, that you pray three times a day – many people, myself included, are not really disciplined. Were you just born that way, or what do you have to say on that? Or is this just something that's innate and that you can't even think about it or talk about it?
People tell me that I'm disciplined. I think it's probably true, but I've been quite disciplined even since I was a child. Very disciplined. Like to wake up early, and that's just the way I am.
I mean, I think it's a tremendous gift. I'm a little bit covetous because that's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. At the same time, it's interesting that it works, right? In other words, it's not that's a pretty simple testimony, what you've just said. What happened after that? I mean, suddenly it's 1977. You're 18 years old. You're a freshman at Syracuse University studying chemistry. Now what?
So it's really quite interesting. I had been thrown into a honors class of students studying chemistry because I was a chemistry major, but I really needed to be in with the masses. I was struggling in chemistry. From that day, I started to pray and say, Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me, teach me, give me understanding. I ended up with a B+ that semester, and then after that, I was at the top of my class in every chemistry class I took. As an undergrad, I took every organic chemistry graduate class that they taught, and I was at the top of those classes. God bless me, I was able to go and work for a man that would later on win a Nobel Prize in chemistry. And so I was trained by very good people, went on to work with very good people, and taught many good things about chemistry, and God blessed my work. I mean, amazing things. I would pray, Lord, I pray that when I start my postdoctoral career, that you give me two papers in the Journal of the American Chemical Society and one in the Journal of Organic Chemistry. Journal of the American Chemical Society was the biggest journal in those days. And I prayed that it would just be my name on the paper and my mentor, my boss. That's exactly what I ended up with 2 years later.
Well, it's kind of curious that you prayed that. Like, that's an interesting prayer. You know what I mean? That you were that specific. And I think that whenever we pray that specifically and then the prayer is answered, I have to believe that it was the Lord prompting us in that prayer. In other words, he wanted to answer it before we prayed it, so he puts it into us. Because that's kind of, it's almost comical that you prayed that rather than just, Lord, you know, bless me and use me. Folks, I'm talking to Dr. James Tour. If you want to check out his website so you can read that long list that I just read a few minutes ago, go to JM Tour, T-O-U-R, JMTour.com, JMTour.com. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Hey there, folks. I promise you I'm not jive talking. And my guest, Dr. James Tour, is not jive talking. This stuff sounds crazy, but boy, oh boy, it's very real. Jim, really, your story is so compelling. Only I think it's because what makes it so compelling is that I am aware of the level of respect you have in the scientific establishment. In other words, this is not just, hey, you're a scientist and you believe in Jesus, or hey, you're a Jew who believes in Jesus, but you've worked at the top levels. In fact, can I go out on a limb and say that in the field of nanoengineering, I would have to say you're at the top of that field. Can I say that? I mean, this is there are not many people who can compete with you in that world. What can you say about that?
Well, you can say that. That's not something that I would say myself.
Well, but you're allowing me to say it.
Yes.
Well, because it's true. I mean, look, I've done enough research to know that in the world of nanoengineering and doing what you do, you're the expert. And so to have somebody who believes in the Bible and reads the Bible and believes in the God of the Bible the way you do, who is working on this level in science, you know, it's itself a big deal. It's kind of newsworthy to me. What has it been like for you working in the academy? We know that the academy, like Hollywood or New York, is famously uncomfortable, to be polite, with people of sincere Christian faith. What do they make of a scientist working at your level being so serious and outspoken about your faith?
I think that some of my colleagues think they look at me a little bit strangely. And as I was coming up through my career, God blessed me tremendously. So I rose up very quickly. By my third year in the academy, I had tenure. By my fourth year, I was a chaired professor. So it was quite a rapid rise. I never faced, you know, the normal tenure deadlines that people were coming against that, you know. So it was hard for people to say that I was just an idiot, because we could certainly go toe-to-toe, if you'd like, on the academic subjects that I'm on, and I could talk to anybody on it. And yeah. So I think the academics itself gave me credibility, thankfully.
Right. I want to talk about if you want. I mean, we're going to get to everything eventually. So people who are listening, we're going to talk about origins of life issue. We're going to talk about some of the things you've been able to do with nanoengineering and where we're going with that. You showed me a video yesterday on your phone while I was eating of a mouse. I'm eating at the Second Avenue Deli, which is no longer on Second Avenue, by the way. And we're sitting there with all of this great food, and you pull out your phone and you show me a video, and you say, "You see this mouse? We severed its spinal cord completely." And okay, so pick up the story from there. Now, folks, if you're eating at home, I don't know what to tell you. This is it's a radio program. We don't know what you're doing, but I was eating and I had to pause briefly. So you severed the spinal cord of a white mouse, and then what?
So let me just start. It was a rat, not a mouse.
Right? It was a rat?
Yeah, it was a rat.
I apologize. It was a rat.
Yeah, but the other thing about it is that we don't do this without going through many panels to protect the animal. But what we did is we severed the spinal cord at C5, which is just at the base of the neck, completely in half. Then we put one drop.
No, wait. To be clear. When a human being or a rodent mammal has the spinal cord severed, as you've described, if my spinal cord were severed like that, what would happen to me?
You'd die.
I wouldn't merely be paralyzed?
You'd be paralyzed for a while, and then there would be so much paralysis that you would soon die. You wouldn't die immediately.
Okay, so if somebody's spinal cord is cut a little further down, they will be paralyzed.
Yes.
But you're saying that, and by the way, when someone's paralyzed, I just want to be clear,
right?
Because yesterday, as you described this to me, I thought getting clarity on this makes it all the more amazing. When a spinal cord is totally severed,
right,
the nerves cannot grow back to each other ever.
Right. So what happens is when you cut at C5, there'll be a quadriplegic. And so what we're doing is we're studying the repair of spinal cords. The reason this is done to an animal is that so we can someday repair spinal cords in humans. So there's a reason for this. This is not done haphazardly.
Oh, obviously not. I hope people understand that.
Right. And so when this cut was made, it was cut very controlled so that we knew that the rat would not immediately die. But it would become a paraplegic. And so what normally happens when you try to refuse a spinal cord is the neurons will grow from the head downward and from the bottom part upward. But they'll miss each other. There's no way that they find each other, and then they miss each other. Once they miss, that's it. They'll continue to grow.
Okay, so in the history of the world, a severed spinal cord in a human being or in a rat or in anything with a spinal cord, they do not ever grow back together, ever.
They never grow back.
There is no possibility of them healing.
So let me qualify that. If you use a normal fusogen, which has been used in some animals, you can get about 10% function back, but that's it. So there'll be a lot of paralysis. That's all that has been shown before. So what we did is in the fusogen, which is a polymer, we added 1% by weight of something called graphene nanoribbons. Now, graphene is a single atom thick sheet of graphite.
We're going to a break, folks. I hope you understand the gravity of what we're discussing. We're talking about repairing spinal cords that have been cut. We'll be right back.
Hey, Albin.
Hey,
Hey, Eric.
Have I told you about Relief Factor recently?
Please do.
May I? Because I take Relief Factor every day. If you've got aches and pains and you don't want to first of all, I think a lot of people have this attitude like, well, that's just life. I've got to deal with it. Right.
Yeah, right.
I don't agree with that. I think you should try what you can. OK, Relief Factor is one of those things that the reason I recommend it to all my friends is that it's non-toxic. It's not like taking Advil or some weird medicine or something. You can take it all day long. This is nothing dangerous, but it works for a lot of people where nothing else has worked. So that's why I say go to relieffactor.com, get the quick start pack for $19.95. You'll know in less than 3 weeks when you take, I would take two or three packets a day for that time and see how you feel. If you feel improvement, you stick with it. Anyway, look, Jim from Texas writes, he says, I was skeptical, but my wife talked me into trying it. After 2 months of taking Relief Factor, I hardly notice any pain. I'm so glad I found it. Relief Factor works. Relieffactor.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-519-0447. That's 800-519-0447. 800-519-0447. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act has been around for months now. Americans are seeing real results from it, and we know this because we've heard things. We've seen a company in Ohio give its 5,000 employees a $1,000 bonus, contribute $1 million to charity, and beef up its employees' pensions by $20 million. We've seen an insurance company give $1,000 bonuses to its employees, donate $40 million to charity, and use the savings to lower premiums for its customers. We've seen an employee in Texas who checked his pay stub and found out he's keeping $200 more per paycheck, helping him to pay his family's credit card debt faster. These are actual stories we're hearing from people like you who are benefiting from this historic tax cut. But too many people are hearing things that are untrue about the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, things that you know are lies because certain people don't want them told. But that doesn't change the fact that we have seen these things. See how this law is helping Americans just like you at TaxCutsWork.com. Let us know how the tax cuts are helping your business and your family. Please share these comments at TaxCutsWork.com. That's TaxCutsWork.com.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. We make the Solaire infrared grills, those amazing gas grills that heat up to over 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes to provide professional chef quality performance in your own backyard. Now, you won't find them in the big box stores. Solaire is sold only by the finest specialty retailers who recognize Solaire as the only real hot, fast grill. If you live in an area without a Solaire dealer, Solaire has the demo program where you can try a mini version of a full-size grill in your own backyard, grilling the foods you love. It's made with the same design, materials, components, and performance of the big Solaires, but in a size Solaire can easily ship to you. Try before you buy so you'll know firsthand why Solaire is the last grill you'll ever purchase. Learn more about the demo program and these fantastic USA-made grills at BestHotGrill.com. That's BestHotGrill.com, BestHotGrill.com.
This is the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Dr. James Tour. Jim, you were just explaining something. I want my audience to get this because if they get this, it will blow their minds as it blew my mind and as it ought to blow everyone's mind who gets it. You're talking about utterly severing the spinal cord of a rat, which traditionally there is just no possibility to bring healing. So when anyone like you or me, when our spinal cord is snapped, we're paralyzed. That's it. Science up till now has had no hope, no cure for this. You're saying that on this nano level, these the neurons when there's this division, when there's this bisection, that the neurons grow up in this direction and down in this direction, but they're so small that they miss each other and never, ever fuse, which is why anyone who's paralyzed is paralyzed for life. You've experienced something different in the lab. You were just explaining what you do. Go ahead again. You said a one atom thick. Go ahead.
So what graphene is, it's one atom thick sheet of carbon.
One atom thick one, sheet of carbon. Now, this is synthesized in the lab. You create this.
Yeah, we make these by splitting carbon nanotubes longitudinally. Now, let me explain that. So what you do is you take a tubular structure, which is like a straw. You split that as if you're cutting with a razor blade along it longitudinally and splay it open. Now it turns into a ribbon.
Okay.
This is exactly how we make the nano ribbons.
But you also make the nanotubes. Who are you kidding?
Well, the nanotubes we can make those, yes. But these particular nanotubes we actually bought. And then we split
Wait, you bought from somebody who made them.
Correct.
Okay. So the point is human beings make nanotubes.
Yes.
Okay. You split them open and you create this little ribbon, which is literally one atom thick.
Yes.
Okay. You take these structures and?
And we allow the neurons to grow on them. We had a lot of work that predated this.
But you just were saying you put them in a solution.
Right, right. But let me just back up and just say we already knew that neurons love to grow upon graphene. That we knew. And the reason they like to grow on graphene is because their neurons are looking for a platform in which they can continue to do their electrical transmissions. And graphene itself is conductive, electrically conductive. So with that knowledge in hand, we put one drop of these graphene nanoribbons, actually 1% of the graphene nanoribbons, in a one-drop solution and applied it to where that cut location is.
On the rat's spinal cord.
Right. And then what you do is you take the spinal cord and you open up a small gap momentarily and then push it back together. By opening up the small gap and then pushing it back together, the nanoribbons now will align longitudinally with the axis of the spinal cord, just like logs going down a river.
Okay,
when they hit the river, they'll go longitudinally with the river flow.
Okay, I'm writing this down because I'm going to try this at home this afternoon. Continue.
And then immediately we saw conduction from the brain down to the toe. So immediate, that's never been seen before. We saw immediate conduction.
What is immediate? 10 minutes?
Well, as soon as we could get the electrodes on there, we saw it. That conduction was flowing.
So the neurons in the spinal cord of this rat immediately were growing along these graphene things that you had allowed in there, or no?
No, it's that the graphene ribbons themselves were a conductor gap. Filling the gap.
Got it.
So the neurons were firing across this gap. It was as if we had taken an extra little wire and put it between all these neurons. Now the neurons want to start growing across this gap. And as they grow, they're going to be restricted to grow on these ribbons because they love growing on this. And so they're growing from bottom to top and top to bottom. And then they run into each other and they'll fuse. And that's exactly what they did.
And that's never been done before in the history of the world.
That is correct.
That's a big deal, Jim.
That's a big deal.
How do I invest in this technology?
Well, actually, there's a startup company starting around this now.
Really? Are they looking for investment? I mean, yeah. I have to laugh because my joy, I can't contain my joy at what you're telling me. You're telling me that you're perhaps the premier nano engineer of our time, that you found an application that is able to restore cut spinal cords.
Right, but I don't want to leave your audience with the wrong perspective here, because there's a lot of work that has to be done. Most spinal cord damage is not a straight cut; it's a contusion. So we have to learn how to do this on a contusion injury. There's going to have to be a lot more work on animals done before it'll ever get into humans. Whenever we talk about this, there's many people who are paralyzed who say, let us have this done to us. Right. There's a lot between where we are and where we have to go.
Well, there may be a lot, but where you are now is light years ahead of where we were, you know, a couple of years ago.
That's right.
So this is tremendously hopeful. The very idea that you know, you're beginning to work like this. Now, this is just one application of what you're talking about. What might be some other applications of nanoengineering?
Okay, so for the same graphene nanoribbons, we're also looking at peripheral nerves.
What do you mean peripheral nerves? I don't really understand.
So peripheral nerves, if you get a nerve, for example, cut in your face, the face will droop for the rest of your life.
Okay, because nerves do not grow back.
Yeah, the nerves do not easily grow back. And so this way you can merge them back together and you could have restored function. If you cut a nerve in your hand, if that thing doesn't grow back, you'll never have use of that finger again, for example. So we'll be able to reheal those.
Okay, but so in the past, once a nerve is cut, that's that.
Yeah, nerves will have a little bit of repair, but it's very hard. Spinal cord had no repair.
Okay, and so we're talking now about the possibility of changing that.
That's right.
This is dramatic. This is very dramatic. Is anybody else working in this besides you and your group?
Yeah, many people are trying to work in this area, but as far as graphene nanoribbons, it's just us.
Just you and your pals. All right, folks, we're going to be right back. I'm talking to Dr. James Tour. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. And we are excited. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. We've got lots more for you. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Victoria Hurst. My family's company, the Hurst Corporation, publishes a magazine aimed at young women called Cosmopolitan. Nicknamed Cosmo, it contains pornography that hurts kids. I oppose this and have asked the Hearst Corporation Board of Directors many times to label Cosmopolitan adult material so that it cannot be sold to anyone under 18. But the company has refused to do it. So now I have a campaign called Cosmo Hurts Kids. I'm working with legislators, law enforcement, and community groups to have all U.S. states' material harmful to minors laws enforced against Cosmo so that it cannot be sold to your kids. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation says Cosmopolitan magazine contains pornography and is harmful to minors. American Psychological Association studies prove that early exposure to sexualization has significant negative mental health consequences for underage girls. My website is CosmoHurtsKids.com. CosmoHurtsKids.com.
You work hard to recruit the best talent for your business, so you understand how important benefits are. Today's candidates are looking for more than just insurance and retirement accounts. They want benefits they can use every day and perks that help them achieve that all-important work-life balance. With Veradesk Standing Desk Solutions, you can create the healthy office culture they're looking for, where employees can move more throughout the day, so they're happier, healthier, and more productive. The new Veradesk ProDesk 60 Electric is the perfect way to create your active workspace. It's a commercial-grade electric standing desk that lets you sit or stand with the touch of a button, and it assembles in under 5 minutes with no need for professional installers or labor costs. The ProDesk 60 Electric ships for free, and thanks to our 30-day guarantee, if you don't love it, we'll pick it up for free. To learn how you can try the ProDesk 60 Electric in your office, visit veradesk.com/radio. That's varidesk.com/radio.
This is the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Dr. James Tour, nano engineer supreme. We have not had many nano engineers on this program, Jim. In fact, now that I think of it, you're the only one. So we started at the top. You and I, we're going to have more time for more conversations. This is the end of an hour. But you and I have talked about how you say because you synthesize molecules, you create molecules in the lab from atoms. You say it's so hard to do that you know that the very idea that they would do it by themselves, in other words, that when people say, oh, there's the primordial soup and some stuff got together and next thing you know, here we are. You're saying that that's from a scientific point of view, that's absurd.
That's right. That's absurd. And so I've been recently calling out the community, the origin of life community, and exposing this and exposing the scientific problems based on the conjectures that they have been putting forward and the projections from their work. We are clueless on the origin of life. From a scientific perspective, there is nothing known. Nothing.
Okay. You have read many papers on this subject. People who have argued with you said, I'm going to send you some papers. Some people say, I'll send you three. Some people say, I'll send you 70. Read these papers. These are our answers. You've read the papers and?
Oh, there's no answer. And I show them how all of their work, none of it is projecting origin of life. It is only the conjectures that they have from this. And I show them how those are baseless. So I've taken this on because so many people were confused about this. Chemists who really study these sort of things knew the problems. And I can go over with you as much or as little detail as you would like in the problems of origin of life.
And when you say origin of life, you're talking the primordial soup. We're not talking about Adam and Eve. We're going way back to the very idea that you've got a sea of inorganic material, and then suddenly they're claiming out of that comes life.
Correct. So this is abiogenesis. This is before there is evolution. Before evolution can occur, you have to have a cell. The cell has to evolve. Where did that first cell come from? And some people will say, well, outer space creatures came and left it here. Well, that's fine. Where did that cell come from? We're talking about first life, the origin of first life. Where did it come from? So we have to use our basic understanding of chemistry and start piecing this thing together. What do molecules do? What do they not do? And how time that is often used, well, if you have enough time, these things can happen. It turns out time is your enemy. Most of these products are kinetic products, meaning that they decompose with time. You have to use them shortly after you make them. So time is not a help here. Time is actually an enemy here.
You've just lost 99.99% of my audience. So let me just say, we're going to go to we're at the end of an hour. This is so fascinating. I want to talk to you about this. I want to give the full hour. So we're going to do a second hour to talk about this. There was an article in the Atlantic Monthly about 25 years ago on this very subject. And I remember reading that article and it said exactly what you're saying. Like we have no clue. I don't know who wrote that article, but you're saying as of this date, we have no idea how life came about, and any scientist who says we do is kidding himself. I guess that about sums it up, doesn't it? We don't know where life came from. But you and I have some guesses, don't we?
Yeah, we have some guesses. They're not scientific guesses, but they're guesses.
Yeah, but guessing along those lines, well, folks, that's hour one with Dr. James Tour. Jim, I'm just so grateful to have you in the studio. Folks, thanks for listening.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.